down, buckle up, and turn the volume to 11. This is the Auto Action Rev Limiter with Auto Action's Bruce Williams and Paul Gover, and your host, Andrew Clark.
Hello and welcome to the Auto Action Rev Limiter. In the week after a very, very memorable Australian Grand Prix, as the dominance of Red Bull Racing was stopped by a locked brake for Max Verstappen and Sergio Perez just not being good enough, Carlos Sainz recorded a memorable win 2 weeks post-appendix surgery. Will Brown was dominant in the supercars as the Fords knocked each other out of the running to make it easy for the Camaro drivers, who swept all four races. Nick Perkett took a popular win, which we'll get to a little bit later. So two-thirds of us are there, so please welcome Bruce Williams from on the ground and Paul Gover from the couch. Brucey, how did you enjoy the weekend?
Oh, it was a big weekend, Andrew. There was lots to see, lots to smell, lots to look at, lots to talk about, lots of people to bump into, lots of people to meet. The only important person in my life that was missing was BG. He wasn't there. He didn't get the chance to talk to his old mate. So good old Ray Berghaus kept coming to us and chatting to us because he couldn't find Paul Gover.
I know, we get nagged, didn't we?
Well, the sad thing is, Bruce, like I think I've done 26 years down there, and you've only had the pass to get into the where all the gurus hang out for the last couple of years, so you're still luxuriating in it all.
There's no need to be like that, Paul.
No, I wasn't having a go. I think it is amazing. Once you get inside the Formula One paddock, it is pretty amazing, isn't it?
It's okay. They're just normal people. They go to the toilet just like you and I. Most of them, don't they?
Oh, no, they don't. No, they have a special way of doing it. I think they've got an extraction system, you know, that just lightens the load, you know, in a high-tech way.
They have their bowels evacuated, do they, in some special method?
Yeah, I think there'd be a system to control that because they need to measure it out and in and all those sort of things. I reckon they'd weigh the food.
Considering that they're complaining about the weight of the paint on the cars, I'm pretty sure the drivers are all very controlled, you know. And you notice as soon as they get out of the car, what's the first thing they do? They weigh them. And as we know, there are some drivers in the past who've been known to not evacuate their bowels, but perhaps, a very well-known supercars driver who's actually the GOAT used to wee on the floor during pit stops, and they actually put a bag in the car, as reported to me by my good friend whose initials are CL, because they were worried that if he came up the pit lane and there was fluid dropping off the floor, they might stop the car and give it a mechanical black flag.
Can I get back to telling my story before we got onto the subject of people's bowel and urine disposal techniques?
Yes, you can do that, Bruce.
So all in all, it was a pretty exciting weekend. As I said, there was lots to see and do. The Formula One was engaging and intriguing. And, of course, the local hero, young Oscar was loved and adored by the fans. The number of people wearing orange was remarkable. And in the end, it was a pretty good result. He would have been unbelievable to see him on the podium. He was in that position for about 23 minutes, but didn't quite get there, but still a very solid result. We're going to touch on a little bit. If you're a punter, I think there'd be a lot of people that would be a little bit unhappy about how it feels to be there. But as a motorsport event, it was pretty solid.
It's a pretty amazing spectacle these days. I mean, the fans, I mean, the amount of fans is just unbelievable. Like, people want to doubt the 130,000 people they talk about. I'm a firm believer that they're there because I reckon I kept bumping into them every time I went out.
Not only that, Andrew, on Sunday night at 7 o'clock, they were still queued up to get on the trams in St Kilda Road. There's a lot of people there, and I know we're probably sidestepping a bit, and this is probably for the loose stuff, but when the AGP management talk about, you know, being limited, they could get 200,000 people into that joint if they knocked down half the corporate facilities and made room. But the biggest single issue is getting people in and out. You can't drive there. There's no trains. So the only way you can get there is by helicopter, limo, and there's only a few people that can do that, or by trams or walking. And when you see the masses of people walking across St Kilda Road or down Canterbury Road or down Clarendon Street, that's when it hits you about just how awkward it is to get people in and out of that place. It's amazing. We are within you know, less than a kilometre or a kilometre and a half from the CBD in the biggest city in Melbourne, in the world, in Australia.
In the world, Bruce.
Ah, well, it's the centre of the world, in my world, and it's quite remarkable just how difficult it is to get people in and out of the place. The MCG regularly has 80, 90, 100,000 people, and they're all gone in half an hour.
Well, not quite. I've done the things there at the MCG, and you can take an hour to get on the train. The interesting thing I thought was half an hour after the race, there's a little thing up on the TV screen saying still 45 minutes to get onto a tram.
Yep.
Yeah, so they were warning. And that's why they put on entertainment after the race to try to keep people around, give them something to do so everybody doesn't have to rush out the door. And
that's not why they put on entertainment. They put on entertainment because the people who aren't motorsport people will, if it's a yes-no decision, they'll go if there's a concert. I was lucky enough to be in Adelaide the year that Tina Turner was there, and there was two different crowds, and also actually at Newcastle last year. I noticed as I was leaving, there was a whole bunch of other people going into the precinct. So it's a way of building a multi entertainment thing. And
yeah, I think that's gone on. I think it's gone with this. That's in the past.
Yeah, the AGP is a different thing, PG. In fact, Andrew and I walked out into the masses and to touch the and see the, well, not physically touch them, but just to breathe the same atmosphere as the Great Unwashed.
Yep.
And it really is an amazing crowd. It's a lovely crowd. You know, sure, there's nice people all dressed up, all waiting with their gold passes to get into the paddock club and the other. But it's an amazing crowd of young people. And I observed that the large number of young groups of young women, which tells me that they feel safe and comfortable, and they're engaged with it. Sure, they stayed and watched the concert, but they were there at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
They were there all day, and lots of young people, lots of families, lots of dads with daughters, lots of mums with sons and daughters. A really nice crowd. But I am critical. I'm pretty annoyed. Some people I knew went there as general public on Saturday and Sunday, and they were really, I think, quite disappointed and a little bit upset because they got there at sort of 9:30, 10 o'clock, and they couldn't really see much at all. It was actually pretty uncomfortable. And I went for a walk with them and took them to some spots where I said, oh, no, this is a great spot to go and stand, only to discover there was 100 metres of corporate hospitality suites with all the drunken swillers, you know, hanging over the edge, and the GP, when I say the GP, the general public couldn't get near the joint.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? We've got a story coming up in next Auto Action on that, so we won't spill the beans too much on that. Gents, it's time to have a quick break to hear from some bloke named Craig from AC Delco.
Hi, Craig Lowndes here. AC Delco All Makes Auto Parts are offering an incredible price for you and a friend to travel to Chicago this July to see the NASCAR Street Race. All you have to do for a chance to win is buy your AC Delco All Makes Auto Parts online at acdelcopartsdirect.com.au or at supercheapauto.com.au. You also enter when you buy any AC Delco battery or you have your vehicle serviced at an AC Delco service centre. All the details, including terms and conditions, are available at acdelco.com.au. So what are you waiting for? Get yourself some AC Delco products for your next project or DIY service, and you could be jetting off to the land of NASCAR. Good luck.
All right, welcome back to the Auto Action Rev Limiter. It's now time for the news, and Bruce, this is the tight section. Carlos Sainz led home a Ferrari 1-2 in the Australian Grand Prix after the early retirement of Max Verstappen opened up.
Yes,
that's kind of what the crowd and the media centre did.
What do you mean? They were cheering in the media centre as well.
Oh, there was an audible cheer in the media centre. Don't worry about that.
Yes, most people were happy, I think. Anyway, both Mercedes failed to finish, and Oscar Piastri was a stunning fourth place after looking a chance for a podium. But the much faster, in his very own words, Lando Norris was let through. So what do we get? Verstappen leads the championship by 4 points from Leclerc and Perez, 1 point further back. Sainz is fourth and could be higher had it not been for missing Saudi Arabia. And Oscar is fifth. The cars are off to Suzuka for the Japanese Grand Prix in 2 weeks' time. We'll come back to Formula One in a couple of minutes. Will Brown won the Larry Perkins Trophy with 1 win and 3 second places from Brock Feeney with 2 wins, a third, and a last lap choke.
I don't think he choked.
Why did he choke? He just made a mistake. It doesn't mean you choked.
No. He was pressured into that mistake, and good on the on the bloke that nailed him for second. Good on him. That was a pure pressure.
Some bloke named Winterbottom.
Yep.
An old bloke. An old canny bloke.
And Frosty was there the whole race. He wasn't like he stumbled into it. Frosty, it was genuine pressure, and it was good to see. And Team 18, they keep sneaking along. Sorry, get back to that later.
Yes. Speaking of people who keep sneaking up there, Nick Percat won the final race of the weekend, proving his new home at Mattstone Racing suits him very, very well. We've now got 4 weeks to wait to the series at Taupo in New Zealand.
Again, another four-week wait. What a joke.
Shane Van Gisbergen got nailed for track limits after finishing second in the Xfinity Series race at the Circuit of Americas. He got done for track limits, which is a very unusual thing in NASCAR.
Hang on. During qualifying, Andrew. Was it during qualifying?
Oh, it was in the race. He got pushed back 20 spots in the race. Yeah, I know. Very sad.
Hang on. You're talking to Andrew, we talked about this before the show. You're talking about the NASCAR race. He finished second in the Xfinity race.
No, he didn't. He got pushed down to about 22nd after he got a penalty for cutting the curbs in the S.
Move on. I don't want to talk about it anymore. That's bullshit. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Under the new regime, is bullshit acceptable?
Yes.
Okay.
See, Andrew, you should say bullshit and I'll say bullshit and then we're all in the same boat together.
Yes, it's all bullshit. We'll talk about that because we are going to do track limits in a minute anyway. In the NASCAR race, he got pit lane speeding, he lost first gear, and he finished 21st in that, which I think we all had high expectations. But running for Callard Racing.
Well, you know, but that was more in – and more important than any of that, Clark, he had an electrical problem, right? The reason he was speeding is because the dashboard changed pages and he didn't know how fast he was going. And so he'd come in and he'd think this was happening and then the electrical stuff was playing up. Yes, he lost first gear. And there are apparently six places around the Circuit of the Americas where you need first gear.
It's a pretty tight little track, isn't it? Anyway, William Byron won the race, and he's the first repeat winner of 2024. Next week for the NASCAR, it's the short track at Richmond. Alex Palau won the Thermal $1 million Challenge in IndyCars. Remember, no championship points for this one. Apparently it was a very, very boring race, which I didn't watch, but he pocketed the cash, $1 million. Not bad, hey?
No, he didn't get $1 million. He got 500,000. Second place, our bloke, well, our in inverted commas bloke, McLaughlin got 350 because he's going to reckon he's putting that.
Have you got a Kiwi passport?
No, definitely not.
He's not our bloke then, is he?
Well, he's the bloke. He's the bloke we cheer for, as long with Will Power. But he got 350 grand. Not bad for coming second.
He's going to pay off his mortgage with it, apparently. Yes,
anyway, Long Beach, 21st of April, same weekend as Taupo, is the next time you'll see the IndyCars racing, so they got a big break as well. Pramex Jorge Martin dominated the wild MotoGP in Portugal, which Pedro Acosta grabbed a maiden podium. Defending champion Francesco Bagnaia and fellow Ducati rider Marc Marquez collided. Jack Miller, fifth. Finally got through one. But Martin leads the championship by 18 points.
What about the photo of him jumping? Have you seen the photo? The bike is 20 centimetres up in the air. What? Minus two, yeah. It looks like he's riding a motocross bike. He's that far up in the air.
Oh, there you go. I haven't seen that photo. I will go and look for it a little bit later.
You need to Google it, and so do all the viewers need to do it as well.
No, stop talking, viewers and Andrew, you just need to go onto the Auto Action website because it's all there. It's on the Auto Action website or the Auto Action Facebook page. You just need to, when you want to know what's going on, you just need to go onto the Auto Action website.
Which is a pretty fair call there, Brucey, because I think the Auto Action website on the weekend, what do we have, 17 articles on one day on Sunday. So it's the place to go if you want your information. So
how did you get out to talk to anybody doing 17 stories? That's amazingly good effort.
Oh, we had a beautiful team at the Grand Prix. We had, let's start at the top. We had Lewis Vasconcelos, our little Portuguese Formula One guru rabbiting around the pits and engaging with people. We had Andrew Clark. We had young Thomas Miles. We had young Reese Maltone there. We had Edwina Williams there. We had Chris Lambden rattling around. And then, of course, there was myself. So we had plenty. We had it all covered. We had people everywhere. The only bloke that was missing was that old tosser from Queensland.
But I'm energised again next year, so look out.
Yeah, the LPG, eh? Anyway, the next round of the MotoGP is at Circuit of Americas on the 15th of April. Argentina was cancelled. Hey, guys, that's the end of the tight bit. So although you did kind of turn a little bit loose, didn't you? You just can't have it.
Well, we shut up. We were pretty quiet for the first 4 or 5 minutes of your waffle, Andrew.
Well, you may call it waffle. I call it something meaningful. Anyway, I got a bit of a joke for you. I'm going to call it track limits. No, track limits. I think it is the greatest joke of all time in top-level motorsport.
And you know who agrees with you?
Everybody.
You know who agrees with you? Gunther Steiner. Yeah. Sweary man.
Hang on.
Yes, that was one of the advantages of being at home. I got to listen to him a bit. He was against it. And what about you saw the Circuit of the Americas? Did you see how far they were on the dirt?
The corner at the end of the back straight, they're in a different suburb. And then they go and get pinned.
Well, what about,
like, seriously?
He wouldn't even know the bloke was there. He was in a different... There was one point where Van Gisbergen was so far away from... He would have been 10 car widths out on the bit where they normally just paint advertising,
just,
you know?
Just let him race. Like, why did we love going to Parramatta? Because sometimes the bloke leading the race would disappear and then... He'd run off the track at the back of turn two, and all of a sudden he'd be back again for turn three. Just let him race. Track limits is defined by whether or not your tyres will survive visiting the scenery. Just let him go. I mean, you know, if you want to see the ultimate expression of track limits, George Russell, that's track limits. He overstepped.
Yes, great.
He overstepped the track limits,
yep.
And he found himself on his side screaming, wanting to have the race red flag. That's track limits in my view.
Yeah, he wanted his mummy.
Look, I really liked George. If he was my son, I'd be proud. He's handsome. He's beautifully spoken. He drives a car all right, but... You put yourself in the same situation. You're laying in your side, and if one of those pointy bastards with that carbon fibre nose punches you in because he's, you know, his ass is on the line, yeah, you'd want to red flag the race too. So put yourself in his position before you go, oh, suki lala, because that's the sort of thing that could kill you, that sort of incident. So
it's probably the only time he's had a whinge that it's fair. Most of the time he's having a talk over something.
Yeah, I agree that he had something to whinge about, but we also know that Carlos Sainz got hit in exactly, you know, where you were saying the pointy bit came through by a person hole cover these days. And he survived all right because that's where the battery lives.
Is it a person or a human being hole cover?
Yeah, you're probably right. We better check up on that. Clarkie, you're our legal advisor. You need to tell us what's acceptable or not. We know that bullshit's okay, but calling somebody calling it a manhole cover, that may not be.
No, I think depending on what it is, it could have been a they cover.
Or an it. Could it be an it cover? It could be. An it could have been something. It could have been a cover covering something. Anyway, listen, I just want to get back to the serious sort of it.
Yeah.
Now, they're now calling for that corner to be changed.
Again.
I remember the good old days, and I've said this many, many times, when sex was safe and motor racing was dangerous. Now, I had a conversation with a bloke the other day who seriously tried to convince me that these, and I don't try not to offend too many people, but hear me out, people that go on these simulator racing competitions, that it's really serious. That's all right, but there are no consequences. You can sit on your sim racer and practice turn two at Adelaide for 300 hours until you get it right. But if you want to see what consequences are like, have a look at George Russell this year and Alex Albon last year, got it all wrong on exactly the same corner and ended up in exactly the same place, splattered all over the track. Motor racing has consequences, And it should have consequences when you get it right. This nanny state bullshit, sorry, I said it again, this nanny state stuff where, we've got to make the track perfectly safe. Well, might as well anybody could drive the car if it's perfectly safe. There's no challenge. Racing has to have consequences.
And that brings back the whole thing of track limits. So I was very, very disappointed to see NASCAR brought track limits in for the S's at Circuit of Americas. They haven't previously had it before, but why bring it in just for that corner and not the other corners? Daniel Ricciardo lost his spot because of track limits, and supercars is just as bad. I mean, these are the best races in the world, and we've got to slap them on the wrist for going too far out.
NASCAR... I mean, I don't get NASCAR. They manage their track limits perfectly well at just about every other track they run to. It's called concrete. That is the ultimate track limit. And Daniel Ricciardo, he might have gone wide at turn five or whatever it was, but he still had to turn to the next corner. Leave these people alone. It's an expression. It's like, are we going to start saying to people who dive off the 5-meter tower or the 20-meter tower, you can't do more than 7 spins because that's a spin limit? Leave them go. It's an expression of their creativity when it comes to driving and using the track. Just let them go. They're not driving slot cars, they're driving racing cars on a race circuit.
And if you don't like it, make it too painful to go out there, as you say.
I said that before. It's a wall. Give them consequences.
It's a wall. It's slippery stuff. We were talking about putting down those little spikes that the police throw down on the road.
Oh, Andrew, you were being silly. You were being what do they call it? Frivolous. You were being provocative.
I was, wasn't I? Anyway. Track limits annoys the living daylights out of me, and I don't ever want to hear it again, but I know I'm going to. But anyway, let's move on quickly. Oscar Piastri, cracking effort. We're talking to him after the race. He understands the significance of what is happening.
I saw you on the TV, Andrew. You were down in the pen, standing there in the background.
I got pictures in there. Oh, excellent. That's what I said to Bruce. Our Auto Action stickers aren't big enough on the T-shirts to see what the Auto Action says. Anyway, he was pretty upbeat, confident. He was obviously a little disappointed to have to let Lando through, but he did say Lando was faster, but not much faster, as Lando declared. But he's coming to grips with his fame, I think. You know, last year he said people kind of knew him because he was Australian. This year he said they know him because they've seen what he can do. So I think he's finding the fandom is very different now. And Bruce... all I could see when I looked into the crowd was papaya. It was orange all over the place.
Andrew, I did say before the race that, when he arrived at Melbourne last year, he was a rookie. He was a young guy trying to find his way in the sport. He's a hardcore arsehole now, and he's one of the guys that all the other people have to beat. And at the end of the day, you know, he recognises that. And the whole family and his team and his crew, to be honest, they were disappointed with fourth. They thought there was more possible, and that's the sign of somebody that you know's got something big in the brew is when a fourth place, they're disappointed and they're unhappy about it.
I got to spend some time with one of my favourite people in the whole of Formula One, Andrea Stella, and we had a good chat to him, which is in the next issue of Auto Action. But going through the process and what it is that makes Oscar special in a sense, in that, you know, his ability to analyse and do all these things in a very calm and not emotionless, but a controlled emotional sense. You know, he doesn't get upset. You don't hear him complaining about, oh, that bloke did this, oh, that bloke did that through the races. Very calm and controlled. I think he's showing great, great signs.
I met Andrea last year. He's a really, he's an impressive person, isn't he, Andrew?
Oh, seriously so, yeah. Very serious.
And you're right about Oscar. He knows that he's in this sport now. I was talking to somebody who heavy-duty person in Formula One. Oscar's reached that stage now where he knows he's embedded in the sport. There's a whole heap of guys who are there, and then there's probably half a dozen or even maybe 10 that are hanging on. They might be young guys trying to get in there or keep their spot, or they might be old guys trying to stop the backslide, but Oscar's embedded. He's rooted in there. He's he's part of the scene, and now his next move is to, you know, is to start winning. And it's probably only his car that's stopping him now. You know, there's lots of guys that drive good cars. If you look at Perez, for example, you know, he's driving a winning car and can't get near the McLarens. Oscar's a really good car away from dominating.
Absolutely. And the other thing he's got to learn, which he talked about, was understanding the tyres a little bit more. So that's the learning process. We've got to remember it's only his second year.
He's still learning, and that's the beautiful – he's not maxed out. He's a young man still learning, and that's the beauty of it. And, it was a great weekend. I didn't actually get to see Oscar this weekend. I didn't even get near him. But it was really good. I caught up with his dad and his grandma and grandpa and the family, and you know they'd all had a huge weekend, and everybody was really happy. And you know it's quite a surreal feeling to be in a Formula One paddock surrounded by people, and it's quite weird. Chris Piastri, his dad, who's probably spent somewhere between, dare I say it, $5 and $10 million to get him in that spot. He's like me. He has to stand there in the queue to get some auto actions signed. He has to get some hats signed and some jackets signed. I said to Chris, have you seen him? He goes, oh, no, he said good day to me when he walked past about 2 hours ago. It's quite a strange thing. Having said that, viewers, we've got an opportunity. As we know, the latest issue of Auto Action has got Oscar on the front cover. We got a couple of copies signed, and we're going to run a promotion. So get on the Auto Action website. Get on the free Auto Action digital download, because it'll be an opportunity to have one of those beautiful magazine covers signed with Oscar's signature.
Awesome. Awesome. And, yep, so we said Oscar, superstar, Dan Ricciardo. He's on notice, apparently. He's got till Miami to pick up his game, or he's out and Liam Lawson's in.
Yeah, that's the chat. And I don't think it's chat anymore. I think it's pretty much the reality. We spoke to some people that know what's going on. And you know, as sad it is, Tsunoda, I don't rate Tsunoda that well. And look, it's muddied by Dan. If Dan had stayed, kept in his qualifying spot, who knows what might have happened. So I think they probably used Dan as a bit of a experiment to see what was going on with tyres in that race. So it's a bit hard to know, but I think Dan's on the wrong side of 30 for Red Bull, and there's a significant chance that Liam will be in the car by Monaco.
Yeah, well, Dan was very contemplative afterwards. I think he still backs himself. He still thinks he's got what it takes to do it, but he was very reflective. And like you, he did talk about that qualifying mishap. And, you know, when you push down into the bottom five, you're going to have a tough day, aren't you? It's not going to be easy at all.
And the reality is, when you've got someone who's in the top 10, they will use you. They will use somebody at the back of the field to work out how the hard tyres. And anybody that doesn't understand that doesn't understand Formula One. Dan made a very early pit stop. They put him on the hard tyre. They're working out whether it's not. And so they used Dan to try and keep Tsunoda in a good spot. As it turned out, he was well inside the top 10. So it was a good result for a championship for manufacturers' points for the team. And that's what people don't understand. Sometimes, you know, you look at Dan, he was sort of there or thereabouts, didn't do much, didn't pass many cars, but he was on a different job.
You also have to understand there's a sport, but there's also the money. You know, if he does something that helps Tsunoda score 1 point, that can be worth millions to the team. And that's exactly the thinking, you know, around Lando. If they can get Lando up to third, the differential between third and fourth in the prize money is probably huge with all these things. So,
well, we saw that on display with Alex Albon being put in instead of Logan Sargeant, even though it was Albon who crashed the car, because he had a better chance of getting a point. And they reckon a point could be worth $10 million.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's amazing. It's a strange sport, that one, in some ways. PG wanted this on the agenda. Should we give Max the trophy now and then just take him out of every race and watch the fun?
Well, I think it was quite a good proposal, you know. Like, the fact of the matter is the racing was far better without him. There was no whining. We didn't have to have him singing some sort of stupid Dutch victory song or whatever. And if they can take his dad, Jos, out of the pit lane, that wouldn't be a bad thing either.
Yeah, Brucey?
No, I think it's quite entertaining. I reckon let him lead for a quarter or a third of the race and let him build and just press the button that blows the back wheels off, because that's exciting. And we could all sit there and wonder.
Can you imagine? It'd be like the driver of the day vote, Bruce.
What lap would you like to see him go out?
What we could do is at the start of this year, we could say, right, for five races this year, Max Verstappen's, his gearbox is going to blow up, and we can have votes on which race it's going to be. And we can all get excited, a bit like Tats Lotto, you know, you could buy a ticket for race five or round seven or whatever it is, and off you go. And we really wouldn't know, but if your number comes up, you'd be very, very pleased.
And the best part would be Max not to know which one it's going to be, so he just drives.
Absolutely. So the poor little sucker will be driving his bloody... He'll have his wooden shoes buried in the accelerator pedal and he'll be pounding away, not knowing that any moment his back wheel's about to fall off.
I think it'd be great. It's an awesome proposal.
And of course, the other thing is, like, they're making excuses to Sergio that it had a tear off in the aero somewhere, and that's why he was – where was he again, 27th?
Yeah, it was crap. It was ridiculous. Carlos Sainz, where do we think he's going next year, guys?
He's going somewhere, and I honestly rate him in the top two or three drivers in the championship. He should never have been sacked. I think since the first year at Ferrari, Carlos has outmanaged Chuck. Chuck is very pretty, very handsome, beautifully spoken. I love him as a boy and a man. He's a good driver, but Carlos has got that touch of arsehole about him, and I think he's the man. So I think what we'll find is that Carlos will be sitting back in his deck chair and he'll be looking at several offers going, nah, do I want to drive for a German or an Austrian? Geez, a bit hard, really. He'll have a couple of offers and it'll be his choice. It'll be his call. And, if he goes to Red Bull next year.
Where would you like to see him go, Bruce? Where would you like? I'd love to see him at Red Bull.
I'd like to see him in Red Bull next year in the same car as Max, because I want to see Max fed a wheel and sent off into the scenery and listen to that Dutch squeal, because, you know, I can't say that joke about the – no.
No, no, don't do that.
Got to be careful. Got to be careful, Bruce. We don't want to get woke alarm.
I would like to see him at Red Bull. Although one of the people I know who's fairly embedded in the Formula One scene reckons that will definitely not happen, and that he's most likely to go to
Aston Martin.
Aston Martin.
Oh, piss off. No, he wouldn't take Martin. That drive. What do you reckon? He's going to sit there and keep that other one-browed unit company during the year?
Yeah, well, Aston Martin was my tip. We'll see.
He will, if he hasn't already done the deal, if he hasn't already got the deal done, he'll either be at Red Bull or Mercedes. He doesn't need to decide right now, because he is the only driver that's proven to be capable. Okay, there's been a bit of luck involved, but he's the only driver that's capable of winning a Grand Prix in the last 2 years other than Max Verstappen.
But I don't think that anybody in that team is going to be allowed to win a race or be effective. I think the team is a one-person team, and I'm not winning.
I think that's – Andrew, I'm going to say that word again. I think that's bullshit. I think that seriously, since – probably since Daniel left Red Bull, there hasn't been anybody capable of challenging Max. Max has had his own way. I think who are we talking about again?
Carlos,
Spanish bloke. I think Carlos is capable of flogging the clogwog. And I think that, I think that he would – it would be a different scenario, because at the end of the day, Red Bull are like everybody else. What you've got to understand about Red Bull, and this is where the psyche goes, they're about drama, they're about excitement, they're about impact, they're about, keeping you up at night and giving you wings and all that crap. They'd love to see two superstars flogging it out and beating each other and being talked about. So I wouldn't rule it out at all.
The other thing to remember is that Carlos – has a point to prove if he goes there, because Carlos was Mighty Max's teammate, if you remember, whatever the team was called now, RB, AlphaTauri, anyway, he was his teammate there. And one of the reasons why Max got promoted was because the rivalry between the two of them, and also their dads, I might say, Carlos Sainz Sr., World Rally Champion and Dakar winner, and Jos Verstappen, failed Formula One driver, they were having quite a conflict. And that's one of the reasons why they split them up. So Max would like nothing. I'm sure Max wouldn't like him there. And I think that Carlos would love to go back and smack the other bloke.
Yeah, so I did have the Mercedes seat on the agenda, but we might come to that next week, Bruce. So we're going to put that one off because we've got some of an inside word there. Supercars. The races without pit stops, what did we think?
Oh, Andrew, it should always be like that. As I've been saying forever, pit stops are just artificial wank. And
can you say that? Or can we just say bullshit?
Paul, we've used up our quota of the word bullshit for this particular podcast.
Oh, okay, right.
We're only allowed to say bullshit a number of times, and you've said bullshit more than your quota, and I've certainly said bullshit more than my quota. So we need to get back to a different word, and pit stops are a wank, and at the end of the day, it gives one of my favourite, well, even tyre stops. Let's talk about it. It just means that we get to use words like grip limited. We get to use words
stop, I'm going to be sick.
We get to use all of those words, and at the end of the day, I think it's pretty imperative that a driver should be able to drive a car and manage the tyres, manage the car, because most other categories that go out and race in Australia, they don't get a brand new set of tyres thrown at them halfway through the race so they can pedal on.
Imagine the 800 metres at the Olympics? Every 200 metres you stop for new shoes. Or do you go 400 metres and then get new shoes?
Exactly. And at the end of the day, it's all very exciting and it's interesting, so we don't need to be going down that road. And I think there's a lesson to be learned. Now, are we finished talking about pit stops? Can we move on to the interesting stuff?
No, because John Bauer was interesting when I spoke to him last week for the magazine.
John Bauer's always interesting, Andrew.
The old races were about an hour long, which he says is the perfect length. So the supercars at the Grand Prix were a little bit too short to really get into that zone. So
they were, Andrew. They were children's races. They were designed for little people who aren't used to getting up early. And, you know, for going the whole distance, it's like being told to do a lap of the oval, but being able to take a shortcut across the middle bit to get to the other side. It's not a proper lap of the oval. It's just a pretend lap. So, yeah, make them an hour. The fans would enjoy it. And all of a sudden we'd have races with motorsport should be about consequences, Andrew. I remember the good old days when it was dangerous. Not anymore.
No, we talked about that a little bit earlier. You might have forgotten that already.
Yes, it's about consequences, Andrew.
It is. Well, speaking of consequences, why is there so much action at the Australian Grand Prix meeting in terms of supercars? We can go weeks without anything.
Because a lot of the people, they get a little bit excited with themselves. There's a lot of looking at mirrors. There's a lot of I want to be the
next. A lot of preening, isn't there? A lot of preening, a lot of social meeting.
A lot of people touching themselves in the groin that probably shouldn't be doing it. There's a lot of PR people wandering around with a little strut in themselves because they're on the big stage and they look out there in the middle of the day and they see 100,000 people, not realising, but by the time they race, there's only 10 people there. But they get a bit firm in the groin and they go out there and they race each other, and it's a new track. It's got... The other thing about it, it's got lots of grass, and they just lose their minds. They're sort of showing off on the big stage because, you know, mummy and daddy are there and the grandparents from Melbourne pop into the Grand Prix, and so it's a big thing. And of course, the other interesting thing is they get a different group of commentators, so they're always trying to impress those people who aren't easily impressed.
Thank you for that. What's your view on it, PG? Why do they keep crashing and hitting each other?
It's the big stage, lots of people. I've been on the track there a number of times. It is pretty amazing.
It's not lots of people in the supercar.
No, you're right about that. But the other interesting thing about it is there really aren't. There are a couple of places where there are consequences, but a lot of the track doesn't have consequences. You know, turn one, you can run off as far as you like. and come back on again. It's only there are a couple of places where there are consequences.
Probably Randall proved that.
Yeah, that's right. But the thing about it is, look, the other thing is, when you think about it, a lot of the races there have been red flagged or stopped early because of the fact that we all have to pack up early so the sensationally entertaining Formula 3 cars can come on. But if something goes wrong, as it always does there, you want to be as far up as you like. And so basically they're all trying to be in front on every lap because that could be the last. And we're coming back to the Max Verstappen thing. You want to be in front because you don't know. It might only
go for four laps. What a bizarre concept. What a bizarre concept, PG, wanting to be up the front just in case the race finishes.
No, finish
my racing
early.
Experience has always been I want to be at the front all of the time. None of this cruising around just in case something might not happen.
No. I'm not saying that they're cruising around, but they're all battling to get to the front because they know that the chance of it being what's the time? Time limited, time certain, time stupid.
PG and Andrew and punters, I'm going to tell you why there's so many incidents. So we go to Winton, and we go to Winton, and all the Victorian teams pound around, and there is one line, one groove, and they all know that that's the groove they've got to follow. They go to Queensland Raceway, and there's one groove, there's one line, blah, 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 blah. We go to Wanneroo, we go to wherever we go, there's one line. We get to Albert Park, they do so few laps, they really don't know their way around. So there's all sorts of oddball lines, people turning in from over here and turning in from over there, and lo and behold, the bloke that's turning in from over there hasn't realised that the other bloke is turning in from over here. So you get all this bizarre, there's rubber from different categories, there's Formula 2, Formula 3, Formula 1, Formula 7, Porsche Carrera Cup, there's historics. There's just so many different lines, and blokes aren't expecting to see somebody not be where they should be. And that's what brings them undone.
Well, that's what brought Matt Payne and Cam Waterman.
No, Andrew, it's what brought Ford teams undone. I read our Facebook comments, and the poor old Ford punters, feel free to slag me off. But I read some of the poor comments you made about, what do they call it, the Camaro Cup or the 888 Fondue or the bloody, whatever they call it, the Camaro, whatever they call it. You blokes need to go and have a good talk to your Ford Mustang drivers and just beg them, ask them politely, do whatever you need to do. Just say, hey, listen, blokes, can you stop running into each other so we can win a race? Parody. That's not the issue anymore. It's dickheads behind the steering wheel.
Well, if you have a look at it, for Saturday and Sunday, the top three cars in qualifying all had blue ovals on the front. And, yeah, you're right, Bruce.
Not only that, there's two things they need to practice. The first thing is don't run into each other. The second thing is, maybe you need to work out how to launch off the line, because just about every Mustang that was on the front row got passed. I mean, Chazzy Mostert was on the front row, and he ended up in about fifth or sixth after his front row start. I mean, seriously, boys, you need to just get on with it. Stop making excuses and, stop running into each other. There's no parity issues. I'm convinced that those cars all go at the same speed in a straight line. Anyway, are we nearly finished?
No, we're just going to have a quick chat about the Supercars website and its app because
Oh, you can talk about that. I don't even waste my time. I don't waste my time because it's a bullshit thing.
You have to pay to use the timing system. So people out there, Natsoft has it for free.
Natsoft? No, we don't need to give Natsoft a plug.
It's free?
Oh, I couldn't care less. Can we go now?
Got a plug. Right, the championship, Will Brown, 575 from Brock Feeney on 558, Chaz Mostert, 478. Nick Perkins jumped all the way up to fourth after a very good weekend. Red Bull Racing, 1133, so 1133 over Penrite Racing, 685.
Imagine how far in front Penrite would be if Matty Payne hadn't been, well, in one race tangled up and in the second race KO'd by the bloke in the Yes-mobile.
Yes. Anyway, pit lane order. This is what I like. Pit lane order for Taupo.
Andrew, you really get caught up in stuff that makes no difference. Pit lane order. Who cares?
How does that make a single difference to what we're going to see on the grid? Nah.
Not on the grid, but at the end of the race a little. Red Bull Racing from Penrite Racing from Team 18. Matt Stone. They swapped spots even though Matt Stone won. Erebus, WAU, Tickford, Premier, Brad Jones Racing. What did we say last time, Bruce?
Andrew, move on.
Drop four spots.
Andrew, Shell V Power franchise. Move on. And okay. Shell V Power down the back.
Yeah, 10th. They didn't move anywhere.
All right, we got to go.
We got to go. Next week, the free digital magazine starts, doesn't it, Bruce?
It does. You can go on to the Auto Action website next Tuesday around lunchtime and download your free Auto Action complete digital magazine. Or you can subscribe. You can still subscribe to the printed magazine and you can still get it at selected news agents. We've done a deal. It's a good deal. You can go out there and buy it for the next couple of months. Anyway.
And that was the discussion we had with our one viewer, Andrew from Moorabbin, who we ran into.
Andrew
from
Moorabbin. He was very, very keen to have a chat to us, wasn't he, Andrew?
He was definitely.
Andrew, I'm going to have to say goodbye now. Goodbye, viewers. Goodbye, Paul Gover. Lovely to have you on board.
Goodbye,
good night,
Bruce.
Andrew. Good night, viewers.
Good night, Bruce.
And you two can chat amongst yourselves.
Well, we're just
going to... No, we can finish.
We're going to wind this
up. We're not the same without our fearless leader.
That is pretty much it, actually. So no, I just wanted to touch on the comments from Ken Devine, who touched onto our Facebook page on the weekend and said he couldn't see the magazine in Perth. That's why we're encouraging subscriptions. So don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast. The digital magazine is available online and in the shops. And sign up for the free digital magazine starting next week. Thank you, viewers. Thank you, PG. Thank you, Bruce.
That was the Auto Action Rev Limiter. We'd love you to subscribe and like our podcast and leave some comments. You never know when we're giving something away or we'll use your thoughts to guide the show. And don't forget to get your copy of Auto Action, the digital version. It's out every second Wednesday night. And the print version is available on Thursday, wherever you buy your magazines. Thanks for listening, and thanks for understanding.